Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Cheryl is with her father in Searcy, Arkansas. She went to services at the college church in Searcy this morning. Her sister is away on a mission trip, and so she went down to take care of her dad for a week and be there. This has already been talked about today, but I want to talk about it again. RVBS, I can't believe it snuck up on us this quick. 1 week from today, 1 week from tonight at 6 o'clock. Invite everyone. Just walk up to people in Walmart and invite them. Wherever you are, just invite them. Invite the kids. Have them come. They'll enjoy it. We're kind of working it out to where we're going to start at 6 to where we know the people can come. We're going to provide that evening meal so they won't have to worry about it at home. And they can be here. We're going to be studying. Sunday night is kind of a get it ready and orientation and all that, and play games and have hamburgers and hot dogs. And then Monday night, we're going to be studying Elijah. And then Tuesday night, we're going to be studying Josiah. Josiah is an interesting... he started out as king at 8 years old. And he is the king who... They were just going through the scrolls one day, and lo and behold, what is this scroll? That's the Bible. What is that? Didn't he had forgot it, folks. They had forgot it. And so he has it read publicly, and the people become faithful again, at least until he dies. They are faithful. We're going to talk about that. Elijah and Josiah. We recently spent a very beneficial a few weeks studying the Holy Spirit. Stan Colley taught the class, and I just thought it was one of the best classes on the Holy Spirit that I've ever been a part of. In fact, to be honest, in the Churches of Christ, I've not been in a lot of classes on the Holy Spirit. But we discussed how the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. He is an entity. And we discussed how the Holy Spirit is God in the same sense that Jesus Christ is God. We have the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 that holy men of God spoke, and we can conclude that they wrote as they were carried along by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to do so. The Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not the sword. He gave us the sword. He inspired men to write about the sword. But He is not the Word itself. He gave us the Word. He gave us the revelation. But He is active in us. He gives us more than simple revelation. As a Christian, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We are encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We are comforted by the Holy Spirit. We are enabled by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there are times when we're even protected by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us communicate with God. You know, when there just aren't words, when our emotion is so raw, we can't even say them, whether it's from sorrow or from joy, the Holy Spirit translates that and takes that message to God for us. We can trust that. Bette Midler once wrote a song. I guess she was feeling a little bit like a wannabe theologian that day when she said, God is watching us from a distance. Remember that song? That's not good theology, because God doesn't watch us from a distance. He wants to be so close to us that He wants to live within us. And He's willing to empower us to live the life that we've been called to live by faith. There was a time when, through the Holy Spirit, though, humans were given various supernatural abilities. And as we work through the New Testament in this series that I'm calling What's the Big Idea, you can't look at 1 Corinthians without looking at these spiritual gifts. Because it's one of the very reasons that Paul penned the letter. We talked about last time how 1 Corinthians is not actually his first letter. In chapter 5, he refers to his first letter, which we don't have. We just call it his previous letter. And it was about how they were to live in this immoral culture that they were converted out of. Last week, Romans, you study that in here in the auditorium class. The purpose of miracles was to show the authority of the messenger. So as to confirm the message that they brought as, in fact, authoritative. And the verse you looked at last week was Romans 1:11. Paul said, I desire to come to you and impart some spiritual gift to help establish you, to help give you strength. And this is also a good indicator that they had not received spiritual gifts or miraculous gifts because no apostle had been there yet to do that. And so Paul has this great desire to go and impart some of those to them so that they can be strengthened and established. However, there was an inherent flaw in this kind of presentation of the gospel. The flaw wasn't the Holy Spirit. The flaw wasn't the message. The flaw wasn't the power. The flaw was in the worldly nature of the human messenger themselves. The power of special supernatural abilities often made people who were already prideful even more so, unfortunately. We learn in Corinth that they were often jealous of those people with some of the powers, like speaking in languages. They were often jealous of those because they didn't get to use their gift as frequently or as publicly as others did. And this created the problem of the message itself being affected by the unchristian attitude of the messenger. Does God still do supernatural miracles today? I believe He does. But only He knows the reasons why He does or He doesn't in any given circumstance. It is my belief that He no longer uses people as a conduit for this kind of power. And the reason I say that is because the authority of the message is now well established without it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, and we're going to be in 13 a little bit and then go to 14. Paul said in 13:8, miracles through people would soon cease, or they would cease. In verse 11, he refers to the need for miracles as a part of the one way to say it is the childhood, the beginning childhood of the kingdom of Christ. But now we're grown up, folks. In verse 12, he indicates that miracles were a temporary avenue because they were what he calls a poor reflection. And I believe he's saying that the message could be distorted by our unchristian spirits about them. The message we spoke seemed to be a contrast to the attitude that people sometimes had. Now, when did these supernatural miracles through humans cease? As Paul said, they would. I don't know. I think I could say that based on Romans 1:11 and other passages that Paul wanted to go impart these gifts. They couldn't be imparted without an apostle. So we can surmise that without an apostle and after those who died that the apostles had laid their hands on, they had run their course. The purpose of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit today is not some guy with funny hair can stand up on a stage and blow on people or put his hand on their forehead and have them faint in front of an audience, in front of a TV, large crowd or a TV audience. The world sees that kind of stuff and they think about it probably exactly what they should think about it. God's not behind that. The only people who believe that He is are those who are preconditioned to believe that, usually from childhood. The very nature of miracles was that they were undeniable. They were undeniable. And this is the characteristic that made them useful initially in spite of the human flaw. You could ignore them, but you could not deny them. Recently, we looked at Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. The Jewish council concerning Peter and John said, we cannot deny that they had performed a miraculous sign. Everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. They wanted to deny it, but they couldn't deny it. So then they began to do what they could do to undermine their message of Jesus Christ. I believe that Paul speaks of the temporary nature of the supernatural through humans and says that they will last until that which is complete takes over. There's some disagreement about what that is, but God has always wanted our faith to be something that was in our heart, not just with our eyes. Romans 10, verse 10 talks about believing with the heart. We today are meant to embrace faith in Christ because we love Him, not because we've seen a sign. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, and you'll get to this, I assume we will. We're studying the same book you are in the building out back on Sunday morning. We had to do two lessons today to try to catch up with you. We were a week behind. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, Paul says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, and this prophesying most of the time in the Bible doesn't actually mean foretelling the future, it means preaching the Word of God. If your gift is preaching, then preach in accordance with your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, and then give generously. And thank God for people who have that ability and the resources to give and help the church in ways that sometimes other people can't at that level. Thank God for them. If your gift is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Now look at that list. None of these are in a miraculous context. We are all expected to use the resources and the gifts we have to honor God and to reach out to people with the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul spends quite a bit of time speaking to the problems that have come about because of their misunderstanding or their human nature being introduced into the message itself. Sometimes the gift that people call tongues, and it'd be better translated, the ability to speak in a foreign language that you didn't study, they were jealous of those who got to use their gift more than them. Speaking in languages is never about speaking in some gibberish, non-understandable language. That's not what occurs in the New Testament. It was a gift of communicating the message of God to people, particularly unbelievers. I remember a Far Side cartoon. How many of you remember Far Side? Years ago, I saw a Far Side cartoon that left an impression on me, and I looked around recently until I found it, and here it is. You may not remember this. I think it is pretty good theology from 1 Corinthians. You got a man who's looking at a duck. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Do you understand German? Hable Espanol? Do you understand Spanish? Parlez-vous Francais? Do you understand French? And the duck just looks at him and goes, quack. Well, he says quack, and then the duck responds to quack. And then they have this quack, quack, quack conversation. I think this is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 14 with the gift of speaking in other languages. The gift of speaking in other languages was all about the communication of the gospel message into whatever language that the people who were there understood. Nothing more and nothing less. Paul indicates only rarely would it be used in the context of a church gathering. Only rarely would it be used in the context of a church service. Because ordinarily foreigners wouldn't be present there. Now sometimes they were and it was needed. And when they were there, the language speakers could speak it, but that when they weren't, there wasn't anything for them to do. And they got jealous. The gift of languages would be used almost exclusively in the community, out in the community, in the marketplace, and other places where the foreigners normally were. 1 Corinthians 14:22. There's just one more thing I want to do this morning. Back in 1989, 30 years ago, next month, I studied with a young couple. I'd studied with them once before. They were from Black Rock, Arkansas, about 15 miles from Pocahontas, where I was the preacher. This young couple, their names were Frankie and Gracie. They had two children. Gracie had a little history in the Church of Christ as a child, but only as a small child, not since. And she was interested in studying with a quote-unquote Church of Christ minister who was a little more progressive and open-minded than the ones, quite frankly, that had turned her off to the Church of Christ. Frankie, on the other hand, was interested in something a little more charismatic. They asked me to come study with them on the topic of speaking in tongues or languages. I agreed. They also informed me that they were going to have a local charismatic preacher come to the same study. They wanted to hear at the same table, at the same night, at the same time, a discussion between the two views. And I thought, well, that's going to be different. It had never happened before, and quite frankly, it has never happened since. Again, the other minister made his presentation first. And what I had decided to do was simply read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The only thing I did, the only changes I made, was a little bit of language to help explain it. But I told him, you follow along, all of you follow along, and make sure that you it is said exactly as it should be said. I wanted them to hear it without distorting it, so follow along with me. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 14, this is what I typed out 30 years ago. I still have it in my Bible. The only difference is it is in a font so low, so small, that I can barely even read it with my glasses on. But I want to read it to you. And Paul says in verse 1, follow the way of love. That's what he's just talked about. He's talked about gifts in chapter 12. He's talked about what love is in chapter 13 and how important love is and above everything, even faith and hope. Love is the greatest. And then he says in verse 1 here, follow the way of love. And I believe that's what he's referring to in 13 as what is complete. This is what Paul says. And that's all I did, just read this. For anyone who speaks in a different language other than the one the congregation speaks is not understood by the congregation. You're understood by God, but not by them. What you're saying is a pure mystery to them. But the one who simply preaches understandably says something worthwhile for the congregation's strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Verse 4. When a foreign language is spoken that no one understands, you are just edifying yourself. But the one who preaches in the known language edifies the whole church. I wish that every one of you could speak in foreign languages, but I'd rather you just preached. He that has the gift to preach has a gift that is greater than speaking in foreign languages, unless he interprets the language so that the church can understand the foreign language that's being spoken. Verse 6, if I come to Corinth and preach in a language that is foreign to you, what good is my preaching unless I bring to you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction that you can understand? It's kind of like playing a flute or a harp that is just playing one long continuous note. It's not music if there are no notes, no discernible notes. Or it could be like a bugler sounding a call during battle. Unless the call is clear and understandable, it won't cause anything but confusion. People won't know whether to charge or retreat. Verse 9. That's what I'm talking about with the gift of speaking in foreign languages. Unless you speak understandable words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You're just talking to the air. There are all kinds of foreign languages in the world, and every one of them is a native tongue to somebody and has meaning to them. If you speak in a foreign language in the worship service when no one but people of your native tongue are there, you might as well be foreigners to one another. Let me tell you the way it needs to be at Corinth. Since you are eager to have the spiritual gifts, why not seek the gifts that are going to be good for the building up of the church? Because the building of the church is what it's all about. Anyone who has the gift of speaking in a foreign language should also seek the gift of interpretation. Because unless you can interpret the language you speak, your spirit prays, but even your mind doesn't understand it always. Whatever we do, whether praying or singing, we must do with our mind involved in it. We must understand it. If you're praising God with your gift of languages without interpretation, how can anyone in the audience say, I agree? Or how can they even be thankful for your message since they don't know what you've just said? Verse 17. You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not built up because he has no idea what you've just said. I have the gift to speak in foreign languages, and on my mission trips in foreign cities, I use that gift more than any of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 understandable words of something that teaches than 10,000 words in a language that no one understands, wherein they learn nothing. Brethren, I wish you'd stop thinking like little children that are mean to one another. You need to start thinking like adults, the adults that you are. This reminds me of Isaiah 26. He says, it is written, through men of different languages and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people, but even they won't listen to me, the Lord says. The ability to speak in foreign languages is a sign for the unbeliever, not for Christians. It is best used outside of the church. Preaching, however, is for Christians and not for the unbeliever out in public. So when you meet in the church services and everyone is speaking in foreign languages when it's not necessary, some unbelievers might come in and say, "What are these people doing? I don't understand it." Verse 24. But if an unbeliever or a curious person comes in while they're simply preaching and teaching, understandably, and it's going on, they will hear the preaching and the message and be convinced that they're sinners. They will confess their sins and will fall down and worship God with excitement and say, "God is truly with you people." Brethren, what is it really all about? We assemble together, everyone has a gift and everyone wants to participate, but everything that is done must be done to the strengthening of the church. When the church assembles, if the gift of languages is needed, then you must only speak with an interpreter present. If there is no interpreter present, then sit down and keep quiet during the assembly and keep it to yourself. I'll stop there. Now, the point I want to make is, and what the big idea I think is, that God's Word is not complicated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, "For we did not write anything to you that you could not read and understand." And we could say the same thing about 1 Corinthians. We should be able to say the same thing about whatever we do, wherever we are. Not to do stuff that's not understandable, but that communicates the message of God effectively. We're going to talk about that more next week, because 2 Corinthians 1:13 is going to be the scripture text. And we're going to go all over the place to talk about understanding. The Bible's not complicated. People make it complicated when they begin to interject their own ideas into the revelation. All I can tell you is that Gracie asked the other preacher what he thought about what I just read. And his comment was, and I quote, "I can't argue with that." Well, the next Sunday, I baptized Frankie and Gracie, and they were members at Westridge for many years. And it had nothing to do with my ability. I didn't do anything but read. I went there, and I read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, or most of it. And it was understandable. People make things so complex when they don't have to be. God doesn't want to hide His message. And so, when you go to the Bible, go to it seeking truth and believe that God will guide you to that truth. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help guide you. Pray that He will enable you to see things. And I promise you, folks, the more you study the Bible, the more you will understand. Some of us don't understand things because we've never ever done anything but read little bits and pieces, little snippets. We proof text. I read through the Bible. I still see things that I've never seen before. Because there's light over here that now I understand is light, and it shines over here where I hadn't seen the light before, and it shines there. And we grow. We mature. We learn. We're built up. We are, as Paul says in Romans 1:11, strengthened. We're edified. The Word does that. But everything in our life that is as a devotion to God can as well. So that's the lesson. Don't be afraid of just opening the Bible and read it. Just read it for what it says. You may have to understand some things about the way you say things, the way Paul said things, but he's wanting to be real with us. God wants to be real with us. He doesn't want to confuse us, and we don't have to worry about that.